This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 141. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Well, thank you, AnnouncerBot, and welcome to How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. We'd like to invite you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com for our podcast feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or go to iTunes and search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, where you can leave us a review.
And you can contact us through the website or email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Finally, you can call the voice line at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
SFIP.
SFIP. And first off, want to note that we're making some changes for 2011.
It's that yearly change time.
Yes. Mindy is putting together a new website and feeds, which should be transparent, we hope. You should be able to go to the current website and the feed should work. On the new website, there'll be discussion boards, photo galleries, and we're going to be switching over later this month, or later in February, actually. We're also moving all of our Facebook stuff to a single page. It's now available. You can search for SF Productions Podcast Network, and you'll find the new page. If you're on our old group pages, please join us there. And if we can get 25 people to say like to the page, then we can actually make it a useful page name.
Yes, and I guess that we just have to start telling people to like us.
Exactly.
Which people do. They just...
they don't click the like button.
Click it.
Also, you can catch us on a new Twitter feed at SFPPN.
And that's basically going to notify you when the episode comes out.
Right.
Or if we're at a con or something.
Exactly. Finally, there's a new podcast coming soon called Vast Wasteland from the Vault. It'll be our first video podcast. Very excited about that.
But it's not really new.
Well, it's new to virtually everybody.
Yes.
Unless you happen to live in Columbus, Ohio in the 1990s, it's new to virtually everybody. Justice League Generation Lost, number 18, by Winnick and Lepestri. So, Power Girl is under Max Lord's control, and so she attacks Captain Atom. And she thinks she's fighting Superman gone bad. And she sees the rest of the JLI members as the more classic JLA members in her mind.
Who have all gone bad.
Yes. And we also learn more about Max's control over people. It's a kind of psychic feedback loop. So if you tend to forget and it drops out of your mind, if there's other people around you who believe what Max has been telling everybody, you believe it again. And that pain, either physical or emotional, can remove control, and so you can remember again. So Max still considers himself to be the good guy in this situation. We still don't know why he's doing all this.
Yeah, we don't know why he considers himself to be the good guy.
He believes he's doing all of this for the good. Meanwhile, he's torturing Jamie. And so Rocket Red ends up breaking Max's hold on Power Girl by sending this sonic beam that screws up her super hearing and gives her a lot of pain, and that's when she loses Max's hold on her. And so she ends up joining the JLI team. So we're now on issue 18 of 24, so now we'll be into the last act.
And maybe it seems like they're actually going to have a little bit more resolution than they have in some of these other series. I mean, you know, instead of just having the final issue be jam-packed with this is what caused everything, maybe it'll unfold over a few issues.
Well, we're hoping so. Zatanna number 9 by Dini and Chang. Zatanna is tied up by this marionette, and she breaks out and captures him. But not everything is what it seems, and we learn that possibly this guy who's been turned into a marionette was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And that Zatara may have very much overreacted, and was he wrong to do what he did?
You know, it's hard to say. you know, we don't know if this guy, this marionette, is lying or not.
Right.
But I can't imagine that this is the end of the story.
No. So now they've gone off to Zatara's mansion, which I assume is in some other realm, to find out, to try to find the answers.
I wasn't sure if it was in another realm or if that was just like a secret magic door that she had. I don't know.
Yeah, it seems unlikely that Zatara's mansion would just be hanging out in a suburb somewhere.
That's true.
And then there's a Zatanna backup story where she is a teenager who just got braces so that she can't speak well enough to actually cast any spells. And she sees this guy who, I forget, it's like a robber or something.
Yes.
And so she ends up grabbing one of those old speaking spells and types in the information, and somehow that allows her to cast the spell against the guy.
I thought it was a pretty cute thing, but why didn't they just cast a spell to fix her teeth?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Zatara seems to be, maybe at that point, trying to have her live a more normal life. I don't know. But it seems like if you had the ability to fix somebody's teeth without having have them go through 2 or 3 years of pain with braces.
Exactly.
You just do it. Now, actually, we've seen very little of Zatanna's childhood, because in the original storyline, when she was introduced, she was already an adult, and there wasn't really a lot to talk about her childhood. But since then, they've kind of said, yeah, and she, at one point, as a child, she knew Bruce Wayne as a child. And
well, I was just wondering if they were doing some of these stories to sort of tie into the fact that she does have that childhood connection to the Waynes now, with with the story going on with Zatara having known Martha. And
Right. So now there's all these connections, like you said, to the Wayne family. Green Arrow number 8 by Kral and Neves. This is really an unremarkable story. The Green Arrow title, as far as the storyline, just seems to be kind of meandering. They really set up an interesting concept with this whole star-created forest in the middle of Star City and this mystical forest, but not a lot actually is going on.
It's almost like they're treading water until the events in the other comics come
right
to a...
Right, that they have to synchronize again. But there is a lot of stunt casting going on. Every issue seems to have a big guest star, and then the storyline seems to surround that guest star more than Green Arrow. And this issue was Etrigan, and the next issue was Phantom Stranger. We had Green Lantern show up, so various other characters from the DCU, and you generally see that when a title's not doing very well in terms of sales, that they're trying to goose up the, just like on a TV show, you bring in a stunt cast to goose up the ratings.
And in comics, you put a gorilla on the cover.
Right. Now, I looked up the numbers, and Green Arrow was the number 37 title in December, which is not all that bad. There are a lot of DC titles that are doing worse than Green Arrow. So I just don't know why they're doing this stunt casting. I think you're right, is that it must be that they're treading water, waiting for other storylines to catch up. Fables number 101 by Willingham and Schanauer. So this is a breather from the big storyline that finished up in issue 100. And Bufkin is back in the business office with the magic mirror, Frankenstein's head. And are they fairies or are they sprites? Do we know? Or is there really a difference?
Aren't they the Barleycorn girls?
Okay. I couldn't quite remember what their association was. And the mirror convinces Bufkin he must go on a hero's journey. And
I think he really just wants to get rid of Bufkin, doesn't
right
he?
Yeah. To get him to go, he says, yeah, I have 13 labors. That's one more than Hercules, so that's even better. So you have to go off and do your labors.
He's already done 3.
Right. So then there's a whole conversation that happens after Bufkin leaves between Frankenstein's head and the mirror, and Frankenstein seems to think, well, did you make that into reality? That now he has to go and perform these labors to become a hero? Or are you just, you know, because the mirror says, I don't see the future. I just see the past and I see the present completely well of everywhere, but I don't see the future.
But maybe he forms the future.
Right. Mm. So Bufkin climbs the great tree, and Lily, I guess one of the Barleycorn girls, tags along.
She's the narrator in his pocket.
Right. Sidekick slash narrator. And they eventually end up back in Oz, or at least near Oz.
Because Bufkin, of course, was a flying monkey.
Right. And they end up at Ev. And just like everything else in Fables, all the concepts and characters are based on real, actual books or fairy tales. It's not stuff he's making up necessarily. It's all based on real things. And there is a land of Ev that's in the Oz books. So he joins up with Bungle, Sawhorse, and Jack Pumpkinhead. Again, all those three characters are mentioned in the Oz books. I only know this because I looked up Wikipedia on it.
You haven't read all 13 Oz books?
Yeah, no.
They're upstairs.
Yeah, I know. Now, I'm wondering, is Jack Pumpkinhead related to Marv Pumpkinhead over in Sandman?
Like, perhaps Marv was based on Jack.
Yeah.
That's possible, although Pumpkinheads pretty much go through literature.
Yeah.
Pumpkins pretty much lend themselves to heads.
That's true. So, in the next issue, it just says, next, super team. And I've seen a little bit about this on the boards, and it's kind of like a superhero parody, or at least the covers are going to be like that. And apparently the next few covers are going to be swipes at famous comic book covers.
That will be interesting. Now, there these three characters and Bufkin are all set up to overthrow an evil ruler.
Right.
In Ev and Oz.
Right.
So it may relate to that.
And so is that going to be, are we going to see this for the next several issues? And meanwhile, you know, maybe not doing anything in the main storyline for a while. Just, again, to give them a breather until they move into the next major thing. I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe they're catching up with getting the literals back in Jack of Fables.
Well, yeah. Yeah, because they never did really resolve, right? In Fables 100, they never really resolved what happened to the Jack of Fables bus.
Right. Well, the Jack of Fables bus is on its way to meet the Jack the Dragon now.
Right.
Where the librarians are waiting to become literals again.
Mm-hmm.
And that could have some effect on what happens in Fable Town.
That's true. Yeah, they might. It may just be that they are going to build up to the end of the greatest Jack story ever, the conclusion, and then that will flow back into Fables again. One other thing I wanted to note, there's more information coming out this week about Flashpoint, and this is going to be the next big miniseries or next big event coming out of DC. And
we haven't even finished the last big event.
Yeah, but no, they got to have a big event every summer, and they got to start building up to it now. So according to the DC blog, there's going to be, and especially if you buy DC Comics, you may want to sit down first before I say what I'm about to say. There are going to be 15 miniseries that tie into Flashpoint. 15 miniseries plus one-shots.
Now, are these going to be in place of regular comics issues?
It may be. I sure as heck hope so.
I don't know. How could they get that many comics done in a month or two months or whatever?
Considering the concept, I mean, everything we know about Flashpoint right now is that
all the writers have been infected by the Speed Force and are writing very, very quickly.
Yes. Well, what we have heard is that somehow all the other heroes are gone other than Flash or have been greatly transformed. And so it may well be that there's going to be a period of time in which the regular titles won't come out and it'll just be the miniseries, period.
That will be friendlier on the pocketbook.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm trying to remember if they've done something like this before. I seem to remember when they did DC versus Marvel and they did that whole amalgam universe, they've done times where it's like, okay, no regular titles. We're going to just put out these amalgam titles. It was a short period of time. If you're doing miniseries, presumably the absolute least time you can have is 3 weeks, even if they come out weekly.
Yes.
And in worst case, it could be 3 months.
Indeed.
I don't know. Oh, well. Before we get out of here, I think it's time to play America's Fastest Growing New Game Show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? I'm really enthused about this one.
Oh, I guess.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Go.
TV related?
Wait, my button didn't go. Oh. Wait till you hear the beep.
Oh.
Okay.
TV related?
No.
Movie related?
Yes.
It's a movie that's coming out?
No.
It's a movie that's already out?
Yes.
Is it about one movie?
No.
Is it about more an actor or an actress?
No.
Is it about a genre?
No.
Is it a list? Is it a list issue?
Not really.
It's not a list. It's not like top 10 or top 50 or something?
No.
Nothing like that. And it's, okay. Is there one person on the cover?
No.
Is there two people on the cover?
No.
Is there a great deal of people on the cover?
No.
Is there no one on the cover?
Yes.
There's no one on the cover. So there's an object on the cover?
Yes.
The object on the cover is the Oscar?
Yes. There you go. There were actually some people up on the top, you know, in tiny little pictures. But mainly it was the Oscar, and I didn't want to confuse you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. So want to remind you, this is a lot of new information here. The new Facebook fan page, search for SF Productions Podcast Network. Go to sfpodcastnetwork.com for the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or go to iTunes and search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, and please leave us a review.
You can contact us through the website, Facebook, or email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Catch us on Twitter at sfppn. Or call our voice line at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.